Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, the family after divorce. Our guest expert is Colleen Heffman, Marriage and Family Counselor at Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. She will be joined by Matt Martin, a divorced man looking for ways to improve his family's life. I will introduce them in a moment, but first my monologue. No one ever married with divorce in the back of their minds, yet some marriages become insufferable, and staying in them is not an option. Even though I have never been divorced, I have shared the experience way too often with too many friends and loved ones. It's never easy, and it's never, ever fun. As a pediatrician, I have seen the damage it does to so many kids who are trapped in their parents' failed marriages and live through the agony of seeing their parents go separate ways. No parent wants to see their children torn from their family and the kids hurting. Divorce is often too much for a child to handle. Divorced parents must make every attempt to get along. Often tell divorced parents that just because they had a bad marriage does not mean they have to have a bad, unhappy divorce. Studies show that many children of divorced parents have an increased incidence of mental and physical illnesses. Consequently, divorce is listed as one of seven adverse childhood events, we call them ACEs, found to have troublesome effects. Other ACEs include witnessing violence, especially violence against the mother, child abuse, living with household members who were substance abusers, mentally ill, or suicidal, or have ever been imprisoned. The more these events a child experiences, the greater the likelihood he or she has of developing physical and mental problems, including heart disease, obesity, depression, smoking, drug use, and violent behavior. It should be noted that children aren't the only ones hurt by divorce. Couples who have hateful post-marriage behavior are most likely to be unhappy, depressed, use and overuse tobacco, drugs, and alcohol, and have increased risk of cardiovascular problems. I need to add that some families do better after divorce because parents learn to get along, or perhaps one of the parents habitually acted in a manner that instilled fear, anxiety, and hate in the spouse and children. For these families, divorce seems to be the only option. Now, how can divorced people, be happy and help their children share this happiness? To answer this question, I have invited Colleen Heffman to be today's guest expert. She'll be joined later on by Matt, a divorced father who has a very tumultuous divorce with many problems. He wants to know how he can fix his divorce and help his children live better, loving lives. Colleen is marriage and family counselor and offices at Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. She's a native Nashvillian with a master's degree in marriage and family therapy from Lipscomb University. She and her husband Alex have a one-year-old child, son, and are members of the Cathedral of the Incarnation. Welcome, Colleen, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org.
Thank you, Parr. I'm glad to be here.
It's a real privilege and pleasure to have you on our show. I'm so pleased you are here. We have so much to talk about, so let's get right to it. First, we need to talk about the reasons marriages become insufferable. What are some of the early warning signs? When should a couple see a counselor? And how often does marriage counseling help? Now, after you answer these easy questions, I'm going to give you some tough ones. Take all the time you need.
Well, there are certainly many potential signs that a marriage could be in trouble, but I'll focus on some of the most common ones that I see. First, some big red flags are any ongoing addictions within a spouse. and that attempts to treat that addiction have failed. Any instances of abuse, especially abuse for which the abuser is not willing to seek treatment or acknowledge the problem, those are huge red flags and really mandate immediate attention. But I want to talk about more common experiences that I think often many couples find themselves in these situations. And that would be issues with communication and conflict. These are the problems that I often see in my office. When communication becomes a point of tension in the relationship, and particularly when conflicts become harsh or hurtful, that's a red flag. John Gottman has a lot of research on this and has identified specific things that signal vulnerability to divorce for couples. Additionally, when there's a sense of emotional disconnection between the couple, then that's a sign that the relationship needs tending to.
Excuse me, what would be a sign of emotional disconnect?
Sure. So feeling a distance between your relationship with the spouse. So not feeling as close, feeling as though you don't know each other as well, feeling as though you can't share your world and your life with the other, a lack of a sense of intimacy, not just physical intimacy, but a sense of emotional intimacy with the other person.
Okay. I spoke a lot about couples getting along after divorce. That was easy for me to say because I've never been divorced. But does divorce counseling help parents mend their feelings when love becomes hate?
I believe that counseling can nearly always be helpful because a counselor can help both parents focus on their common goal, namely the well-being of their children. One thing that is often difficult yet imperative when couples are going through a divorce is to really separate the dissolution of the marriage from the care of the children and from providing for the well-being of the children. And as I said, this is difficult, and I think this is where a counselor comes in and can be helpful in the relationship because counselors are trained to help people communicate well, even amidst tough feelings and unresolved hurts.
How can parents prevent divorce from being an adverse experience for the kids?
So it's always going to be a difficulty for the children. It is a huge transition and in some sense can be traumatic for children. So parents will have to accept that there will be a process of healing that needs to take place for the children amidst this divorce. And yet there are things that they can do to help this be overall a more healthy experience for the children than negative one. One of the things is to be honest and matter of fact with the children about why the marriage is ending without going into unnecessary detail. But explaining to the children that, you know, first and foremost, this is not their fault, that they have no role in the dissolution of this marriage. Because oftentimes, children, they tend to see the problems in the world and identify themselves with the
Absolutely.
Problem,
Absolutely.
And particularly in their families. They look at mom and dad and say, mom and dad are not happy. Am I part of that problem?
Well, that's really interesting because I have heard many, many parents say, we got along really well until the kids came along. Mm-hmm. And when the kids hear them say that, wow, that really pulls them.
Right, yes. And so in particular, making it a point to talk about the dissolution in a marriage in a framework that doesn't implicate the children in any way as responsible. And truthfully, it's not the responsibility of the children. I think often what we see happens is that there's some underlying vulnerabilities in the marriage relationship before the children are born. And then the stress of bringing children into the world cracks those vulnerabilities wide open. Mm-hmm. So it almost can seem as though the children made the relationship worse when the reality is the stress hadn't been high enough yet in the relationship to truly expose the weaknesses that were already present in the relationship.
Good point. Now, before I introduce Matt, I want to tell you about a friend of mine who had a very difficult divorce. When she and her husband were divorced, they were both about as angry as any couple could be. But a couple of years after their divorce, they managed to shed their hate for the sake of their children. I was asked her to be on my show. Matter of fact, she volunteered to be on the show, but we were not able to arrange a time because she is a single mother and an officer of a large company that prevented her from coming here. I'm sorry she could not be here, but let me read to you a message she sent to me, and I quote, "My ex-husband and I made a goal to protect our boys from the bad situation and make it as easy on them as possible. They are 50% mom and 50% dad, so if one parent is critical of the other, then essentially they're criticizing a portion of who the boys are. By putting them, the boys, first and making them our priority has been much easier navigating divorce and life afterwards." So, end quote. I think that's really good advice. Now, I knew this couple before their divorce and after their divorce, and until they made that decision, neither of them was a person you wanted to be around. But since then, they have become the delightful people they were earlier in their marriage. Now, let me introduce Matt. Matt is from Tampa, Florida, and attended the University of South Florida with a focus on business. He is the owner of Blue Cities Environment and Health Services, where he specializes in odor and germ control. He attends Holy Family Catholic Church, where he is a Knight of the Columbus and a member of the Meds Group. He and his wife, Dantha, divorced 4 years ago. They have two daughters, aged 16 and 19. Welcome, Matt, to Parenting Matters on WBOU-FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. It is a privilege and a pleasure to welcome you to our show.
Thank you, Par.
Matt, tell us about the family you came from.
I grew up in Tampa, and my mom and dad married in 1952. They had three boys. I left myself out. Three boys, four girls. And I grew up in a family with my dad was kind of the dragon slayer back in those times. He went out, slayed the dragon, come home, and dinner was ready, and the house was in order. My mom is a saint, and lots of love for everybody.
She had four sons. She has to be a saint.
Yeah. And when we literally had a picnic table in our kitchen that we all sat around for dinner, and we were all of our friends growing up called us the Waltons.
Yep. Isn't that a compliment?
When I was a kid, I didn't think too much of it. As an adult now, it is definitely a badge of honor compliment. Absolutely. So I grew up in a very loving household.
It sounds to me like you would like to have had that for your own family.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think it's still possible to make some changes?
Yes.
I know it's difficult for you to discuss it, but could you tell us how about your journey from marriage to unhappy marriage to divorce and finally the unhappy divorce?
Yes, we met, Dantha and I met in Nashville when I was assigned to the Corvette plant. I worked for DuPont for many years, and I'd come down on weekends and spend my weekend in Nashville. There wasn't a whole lot going on in Nashville, but Mary Bowles was a place to go. And I met her one evening, and we dated on and off for about 4 years. And then I think we finally decided to stop playing around, and we made the commitment to get married. Early on, it would probably, we had different agendas in our marriage, I would guess. And I'm not sure if I would never say we shouldn't have been married, but I would say we probably should have thought things out a little bit more. My oldest daughter came along 2 years later. That was awesome. Best feeling in the world. At one time, I was very scared to be married because I wasn't sure what kind of daddy I was going to be. I love being a dad. It's my most favorite thing in the world, and it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. So I love being a daddy. I'm sure I could have been a better husband. And as time went on, Dantha and I, we knew we had problems. And to her credit, she would pick out a counselor, and we would go to the counselor. And after about three or four sessions, she would stop going, and I would wanted to continue to go. This happened 7 times. And so it was a little frustrating. And I know I was frustrating her. I could have been a better, I could have been much better at the job opportunities that I had. So I'm sure that was frustrating for her. But when she found the 7th counselor, that one suggested divorce. And I was completely against it and told the counselor and my wife that I would never sign divorce papers and I would never do that to my children. I would find a way to make things work out and for the sake of the family. But it takes two, and I was handed divorce papers, and that's where we are now.
And Colleen, could you have any advice for Matt?
Well, certainly it's always difficult when there seems to be a difference of agendas, as you said, between one spouse and the other. And I think that that is something that is important to work through and come to terms with, that just because a divorce happened, it doesn't mean that you have failed in the marriage, but perhaps that the alignment that was needed there between you and your wife, that it just wasn't present. We can't control other people or make their decisions for them, but we can commit ourselves to renewal and to healing. And so one piece that I encourage couples who are going through difficult divorces in particularly is to focus on dealing with the divorce as though you're dealing with a death. Grieving the loss of the relationship and the loss of what you thought was going to be your future, because certainly you guys had dreams when you got married. But for many reasons, that is not the way that that turned out. And so it's important to allow the self, the grief process, so that you can come to a point of peace and somewhat resolution. Certainly there will always be a sense of loss there, but it helps to relieve some of the tension within the relationship.
Matt, what is probably the biggest problem that you're facing now in your ex-marriage divorce?
So it's been the biggest problem since the divorce, and it hasn't gone away, and that is me to accept the fact that I need to let go of some emotions and some hard feelings and accept my ex-wife and build a better divorce relationship, if you will, for the sake of our children and for the sake of the kids. It's going to be something that, like at Christmas time, it's hard to accept that my kids are, we're not a family. And at those holidays, we're not a family. So it's very difficult, and I'm resentful. So I need to let that go. And your advice was spot on. It is like a death.
Colleen?
And I think, you know, the sign that you have that awareness of those feelings, that in itself is hopeful, because you're not lying to yourself about the way that you feel. And so this is where I often recommend, you know, that those who've gone through a difficult divorce, that they seek some individual counseling to work through those feelings, to gain the tools from a therapist to be able to process those emotions healthily. We often talk about grief and loss as something that ebbs and flows throughout our experience of that passing, in this case, the passing of the marriage. And I heard you say that, you know, at Christmas time, it just brings up those emotions of loss. Why couldn't we have made it work as a family? And that is something that is so valid, because that was a hope and a dream that you had. And so acknowledging that desire and hope, I think, as a valid emotion, of course we want that. Of course we would hope that we could work things out together. And yet taking a step back from that to say, but that's not the reality where we are now. And so how do I appreciate that hope and yet come to terms with and accept the reality that I have in this current moment and make the most of this current moment.
So how does one do that?
I think that, that validation of whatever we feel in the moment is a key piece. Not criticizing yourself for what you could have done better or what you should have done in the moment, but simply accepting that, yes, at one times I had those hopes. Yes, perhaps there are things that I could have done better. But at the same time, a marriage doesn't take just one person. A marriage takes two people intimately connected and committed to the same vision to work. And so reminding yourself that while, yes, of course, there's things I could have done better, also, it's not my fault that this didn't last. Taking a step back to take in the moment that you are in, because when you're in the moment with your daughters, you have two girls, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What do you see when you're present with them in that very moment?
Oh, with my girls, my oldest one's off at college at the University of Tampa, but she spent, after the divorce, she spent, she was full-time with me. And to me, that was a gift from God because, you know, I'm in an apartment now and by myself, and then Savannah's with me. So it was wonderful that I was able to take care of her because I love that. And with Scarlett, my youngest, she's gone through a very, very difficult time with this. And she's doing much better now. And when we get together, it's we have a blast. But, you know, it's easy to have a blast with your daughter when you're a weekend daddy, right? And I'm trying to work on that. I try to pick her up from school and drop her off from school every chance I get when my schedule allows. Hey, can I come by and pick you up from school Tuesday night? We're going to go to the Vanderbilt basketball game and just spend as much time as I can with her because I love her. And, I miss that walking in the door at home and you know, the kids being there. But, you know, that's part of what I'm working through. So,
Matt, do you have it sounds like you had a good relationship with your family, your mom, your brothers and sisters. Do you get support from them? Are any of them divorced? Do they understand what you went through? Or do they all blame you for being such a prodigal son?
being with, two of my brothers, two older brothers, and three older sisters and one younger sister, my support has been phenomenal. We're a very close family. They adore Dantha, her. And so after the divorce, it was difficult for everybody because she's part of the family. So, but my support has been rock solid with the family and some dear friends. It's kind of funny. You know, I do have a couple family members that have gone through divorce. And everybody, as soon as they hear that you're getting a divorce, wants to tell you their horror story. I've made a commitment. If somebody comes to me and they say they're going to get a divorce, I'm just going to listen. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to hear anybody else's horror story. I was in so much pain. I didn't hear it. All I could feel was my pain. And remembering that, I know moving forward, I'll be like, I'm here to listen. Here's my phone number. Call me. Know what you're going through, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I think support is a key element for navigating any difficult time, but in particular one such as divorce, in which there's such a varied array of emotions, both for yourself, and I heard you say that this was hard on your whole family. You know, again, coming back to that grief process, this is a grief process for you, but also for all of the family members who were part of your relationship in some way. And so, yes, we lean into those people for support. But I think even finding support outside of our family and friends, those intimately connected to the relationship, is a key facet as well. I mean, I know at Holy Family we have a divorce support ministry, mm-hmm. and so I definitely recommend things like that for people who are going through such a tough situation, just to find support outside the family.
Okay, we're totally out of time, but I just want to put a plug in for your business, Matt. Could you tell us if a number that people could call in case they have mold or smells and things in the house they want to take care of?
Thank you, Par. For odors if you suffer from asthma or allergies, call me at 615-203-2975. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. It's time to wrap this up. It's been a great pleasure talking with you, and I hope we have been helpful to you, Matt, and to some of our other listeners who are in your situation. Before I sign off, one quick story. This from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapters 3, verses 16 to 27. Two harlots came to the king and stood before him. "If you please, my lord," one of the women said, "this woman and I live in the same house, and while she was in the house, I gave birth to a child. Now it happened on the third day after my delivery that this woman also gave birth to a child. We were alone there. There was no one else in the house with us, just the two of us. Now one night this woman's son died. She overlaid him. And in the middle of the night she got up and took my son from beside me while your servant was asleep. She took him in her arms and put her own dead son in mine. When I got up to suckle my child, before there he was, dead. But in the morning I looked at him carefully, and he was not the child I had born at all. Then the other woman spoke, 'That is not true. My son is a living one. Yours is a dead one.' And the first retorted, 'That is not true. Your son is a dead one. Mine is a living one.' And so they wrangled before the king. 'This one says,' the king observed, 'my son is the one who is alive, and your son is dead.' While the other son says, 'This is not true. Your son is dead. Mine is alive.' 'Bring me a sword,' said the king, and his sword was brought to the king. 'Cut this living child in two,' the king said, 'and give half to each one, half to one, half to the other.' At this moment, the woman who was the mother of the child addressed the king, for she felt acutely for her son. 'I beg you, my lord,' she said, 'let them give her to the live child. On no account let them kill him.' But the other said, 'He shall belong to neither of us. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his decision: 'Give the child first to the first woman. Do not kill him, for she is his mother.'" Now that was the wisdom of Solomon, but it is not the way to solve divorce problems, because in divorce, each parent knows the child is theirs, and both want the child to live and live a happy, productive life. If they are not capable of resolving the issues themselves, they must seek counseling. For your homework, if you are in trouble with a troubled marriage, seek counseling from a marriage and family counselor, not from your hairdresser. If you are already in a bitter divorce, seek help. It is best to go with your ex, and if you and your ex have new spouses, they should go with you. Not doing so is treating your child like King Solomon suggested, and our kids all deserve better than that. Then go to my website, www.parenting-matters.com. Click on homework and tell our listeners about your experience. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to talk all about it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your families.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Par Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.